Look, if you will, in Genesis chapter 2, and I want to read in verse 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then look down in verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Then chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Satan has a strategy. It really hasn't changed. It has always been the same. This was the strategy that he used at the beginning, and he uses it today. He hasn't updated. The world may have updated some methods, but Satan hasn't updated. He's doing the same old, he's always done. And he's the God of this world, and he moves the world into certain ways and certain ideas and certain directions. And I want you to look at three things that he did in reference to Eve and the temptation that he gave. The first thing that Satan does is he provides deception. He deceives people in the area of their thinking. In order for a person to walk away from God and not be what God wants them to be, Satan has to deceive their thinking, their thought processes, so they do not think the correct way to follow and obey the Lord. Notice verse 1. He says, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Notice what Satan did. He took it on the negative end. I read you those verses in verse 9, which the Bible says in verse 2, And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 16, And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. In other words, God's ways are very wonderful and very great. And he provided for Adam and Eve all this beautiful garden that they may eat and they may enjoy. He just gave a limited restriction. Don't eat from this one tree. God's perspective of things is God provides a lot of good and a lot of good ways to live, and his restrictions are not as broad as people think they are. They are limited. But notice what Satan does when he comes. He says, You mean to tell me you can't eat of every tree here in the garden? That's the opposite of what God said. God said you can eat of all these trees here. But he turned it around and said, Boy, you mean you can't eat of every tree? To focus her attention on the one tree that she couldn't eat from. And there are three things that Satan does here. Number one, he distorts the character of God. By this question is the implication that God is a limiting God, that God is a narrow-minded God, that God is not a God who does and provides good things. He made the focus a subtle attack upon the character of God. You mean God is so negative and so bad and so narrow-minded that you can't eat all these trees here? To imply that God is a limiting God. Satan always attacks the character of God. And the world is the same way. If you listen to the world and the Christian faith comes up, one of the first things they are about is being negative, and primarily negative towards the person of God. The world likes their God, as long as it's a God that provides for their selfish pursuits. But as far as God is concerned, He's a good God. He's a wonderful God. Listen, folks, in the Christian life, I have much freedom to enjoy God's world and to obey Him and serve Him. The commandments, as we said last week, are limited for our good and for our benefit. When our children were young, we could play in the house and play in the yard and enjoy one another and have fun with one another. We just gave up one restriction: don't run across the road. We weren't trying to make their lives miserable. We weren't trying to limit their lives. We were giving them wonderful opportunities. We did it for their good. And God's the same way. And in this question, Satan is trying to cast doubt on the character of God. I want to challenge you to listen to the world. And listen how, when Jesus' name comes up, or when God of the Bible comes up, what their attitude is. It will be negative, because they've been sold a deceptive lie that somehow God is a very narrow-minded, limiting God, and He doesn't provide. When I was growing up, I was a good kid and tried to follow the Lord. Most of my friends just made fun of me because I didn't, quote, drink. You mean to tell me you can't drink? Same thing Satan does. Same thing. That was only just a limited restriction. As I've said before you, I drink a lot of stuff. I drink Mountain Dew. I drink water. I drink Pepsi. I drink all sorts of things. I just have a limitation on alcohol. That's not a big deal. Why do I want to mess my mind up with all that stuff? But they thought it was terrible. Oh, how awful to be a Christian and to serve a God. How terrible this God must be. If you want to really serve the Lord, you must start with first, God is good. I often think and raised our children to think this way. God has given them this huge garden in which you can enjoy all sorts of things. There's just one tree you don't want you to pick from. Just one out of thousands. Notice the question is, God is not good. Folks, I don't believe there's a parent who knew the Lord who would deliberately want to do evil to their children. And we being evil, how much more do you think how good God is? Satan comes to attack the character of God. The second thing he does in this question is not only to attack the character of God, but he comes to attack the commandment of God. The commandment was, you may freely eat of all these trees. Did you notice in verse 16, the scripture says God commanded the man, saying, you may freely eat all these trees. There's just one you don't eat from. And by doing what Satan did, Satan implied that God's commandment was not good. Once again, it was an attack upon the character of God, but it's an attack upon the commandment of God. God's commandments are not good. They're awful. They're limiting. If you listen to the world, they say, we don't want that narrow-minded religion. We don't want that narrow-minded Christianity. It's too narrow-minded. We want freedom. And what they realize, they've sold themselves into slavery. The truth is, God's commandments are good. They're not limiting. I have total freedom within the boundaries of my marriage. Total freedom. That's nothing bad about that. That's wonderful to have a wonderful woman for life and to enjoy her and to trust her and to be with her. That's not limiting. That's joy and freedom in the Christian life. And Satan comes and says, you mean to tell me God's commands, they're just kind of negative, aren't they? Listen what she said. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, I don't recall God saying you couldn't touch it. Of course, if you're going to touch it, you would on the way to eating. But I think what Eve was falling for was the narrowness of it. Well, yeah, that's right. God said we could eat these trees. But you're right. You know, boy, we can't eat this tree. Well, we can't even touch this. Boy, God is so narrow, isn't He? God's commandments are so restricting. You know, we can teach everything under the, in the sun in our schools today, but oh, don't teach any Christian values because they're narrow-minded. They're antiquated. They're old-time stuff. We've moved much beyond that. That's the Satan's lie. That's the Satan's way. God's commandments are good and wonderful and great. You say, well, I don't like that commandment about not bearing false witness. I want to lie about somebody. Well, go ahead. You got to remember they get to lie about you too. Well, that commandment, thou shalt not steal. Some of them told me that some people that steal so much today are so upset that they don't get to steal people's other stuff. But what they don't realize, if you get to steal, then they get to steal your stuff. What kind of a life is that? And I've illustrated to you before that when I go to Thomasville, I don't worry and I don't fret because I know when I get on the highway, I get on the right lane. And that's where I drive. And I know that everybody that I meet is on the other side of the street. And we don't worry and we don't fret and we don't get upset because we're following the commandments of the city. We're just following those commandments. And it makes life just wonderful and sweet and glorious and blessed. But can you imagine a world where they said you can drive on any side of the road you want to, you can do anything you want to, you can go into anybody's house you want to, you can lie about anybody, you can do just anything you want to. What a chaotic world. That's what Satan's done. He said God's commandments are bad. I'm going to tell you something. God's commandments are good. They are not bad. And they are not limiting. And I can tell you that anyone who serves the Lord and follows his way will find a much more blessed life than those who followed and picked the one thing they shouldn't. Satan comes to distort the character of God, and he comes to distort the commandments of God. You watch it, folks. Listen. You listen to the world. And when it comes up, they claim freedom, but really they're attacking the commandments of God as awful and narrow. But then I want you to notice the third thing. He then said this, verse 4, "And the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not surely die.' She said these words, 'We shall eat of it, not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die.' And the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not surely die.'" You see, there's a process going on. You have to work in people's thinking. You have to first find a way to challenge the character of God by showing that God's character is less than the world's character. That there's something wrong with what God does. Secondly, you distort God's commandment. There's something negative and wrong about the Christian faith. It's a narrow life, when in fact it is not. But in order to get her to take the final thing, to take the fruit, you have to do the third thing. He says, "You shall not surely die." Thirdly, deceiving, there will be no consequences. There will be no consequences to what you do. See, do you see the process? He takes people's minds off. Here's the Christian line. God is good. I've got an entire garden to eat from. Look at all these wonderful things that I have the privilege to do and enjoy and to enjoy God's world and his ways and his truths. And there's just a few over here that I can't. But they would destroy my life anyway. God is so good and God's commandments are so good. And after all, they destroy. And Satan comes along and says, "Oh, no, no, God's not good. His commandments are not good. And if you want to pick the fruit, don't worry. There will be no consequences to it. Nothing will happen to you. You can go ahead and pick that fruit, Eve, and there will be nothing to happen to you." And that's the message of the world. Go ahead and pick sin. Matter of fact, we're promoting sin. And don't worry, there are no consequences. There are no consequences to your actions. Go ahead. There's no consequences. While we've got set up abortion everywhere, there won't be any consequences to your action. We'll just cover that for you. There are no consequences to life. While we might put you in jail for a little while, but we're going to let you out as soon as we can. Don't worry about that. There are not that much consequences to what you do. And parents often today don't teach children there are consequences to actions. There was a teacher who wrote a note home to the boy, to the parents. And she said, little Johnny is very creative in visual aids. He is very creative in visual aids. And so she wondered, and the parents wondered, well, what in the world is he talking about? So they went to talk to the teacher and said, what do you mean that Johnny's creative in visual aids? Well, what I really mean is he's good at copying off his neighbor's paper. Let's twist it around and make it look good while making God's commands look bad, and you'll suffer no consequences. You can do what you want to. Is not that the message of the world? You can do what you want to. You can live any way you want to, and there will be no consequences. Don't worry, you're not going to die. Everything's going to be okay. You won't suffer any consequences. And if you do suffer any consequences, it's God's fault anyway. Or it's your neighbor's fault, or it's somebody else's fault. But it's never your fault. Don't worry. Folks, I want to tell you, God built within the human race, there are consequences to actions. There are consequences, and when we sin against God, we do pay a price. We do harm ourselves. The sins of anger and bitterness and all that affect our health in ways you don't realize. They affect relationships. They destroy homes. They destroy churches. They destroy families and friends and people. Sin brings its consequences. When people talk bad about other people, believe me, they think they get away with it, but they do not. Because people are very smart, they pick up. If they talk about somebody else, they'll probably talk about me. And if they do it too much, they'll find themselves in a position where people may not want to share with them things. Sin always brings consequences, but the devil says, don't worry. You don't have to worry. There are no consequences. Now listen to the world. Listen to what they're doing in their thinking. God's not that good. The commandments are not that good. And don't worry, you're not going to suffer if you violate them anyway. And that is in the web of the whole thinking of people today. Why are people acting the way they do? All you got to do is read Genesis 3:1, the thinking and the way people think. I'll tell you how to avoid it. My God's good, and if my God said stand up and shout, or my God said run around the church 3 times, my God's good and he has a reason for it, and so I'm going to trust him. And his commandments are good, and so I'm going to do what his commandments say. I don't care if they don't make sense. If they don't make sense, I'm going to study them and try to understand them, because my God doesn't give commandments that are bad. And I'm not going to listen to the world's definition of commandments. I'm going to listen to what God gives about his commandments. And I'm going to understand that if I want to violate his commandments, I'm not free. I will suffer the consequences. First thing he does, he provides deceptions in people's thinking. But then notice the second thing he does. He says in verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. You've got to deceive the thinking in order to bring about a delight in the temptation. She saw something good in the tree. In other words, you deceive the thinking to take them away from the goodness of God and the goodness of his commands and the consequences he brings, and you get them to focus on this tree in order for them to delight in it. Notice back in chapter 2, I thought this was just very interesting the way the scripture says it, verse 9. And out of the ground may the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. You notice that? It's pleasant to the sight and it was good for food. There was nothing extra special about this tree. It wasn't more beautiful than the other trees. God gave all these other trees, but when you get your attention off God and his goodness and his commandments, you're left with now looking at the delights of the temptation. And she said, the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. When you get your mind deceived away from God's goodness and commands, then the next step is you get excited about sins. You know why people sin today? Because there is a certain degree of fun in sin, to a certain degree, but it is limited. It doesn't provide long-term satisfaction. There was something good in this tree. There was something pleasant about this tree. There was something to look and behold and to delight in. And it did look good, but only because she forgot how good God was and all the other. I don't know about you, but I said before that if you give me a choice between 1 million trees and there's only one tree I can't pick from, I kind of like those odds. I think that's the way God is. God's commands are not limiting. They provide for wonderful opportunity. I have a good time as a Christian. Do you know that? I don't have to cuss. Isn't that wonderful? I can, you know, I got a lot more words than cuss words. I mean, my goodness, I can say all sorts of words than curse words. I can say all sorts of things and laugh and enjoy things and enjoy life and enjoy God's provisions and enjoy God's blessings and His goodness and His ways are just beyond anything. I don't have to pick the one fruit. But in order to get you to look at the one fruit, He has to distort your thinking in God so you look and go, wow, that looks pretty good. Well, you know what? That drinking's pretty good. That looks pretty good. Yeah, temporarily. Till you do it for your lifetime and then see what happens. But for now, it looks good. And for now, that temptation, it looks good. And so she looks and she saw it was appealing to her and she delighted in it. We had a professor who used to say, never kiss a sin goodbye. Kick it out and don't long for it again. Let it go. Do not delight in it. I'm going to tell you what the world's done. They put it out there up front in front of everyone to give everyone the easy access to delight in the, quote, pleasures of sin. And they do very little to teach the teachings of God. They're all looking at the forbidden fruit and say, that's so good. It was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to desire to make one wise. First John tells us that we have a desire for pleasure, but it is taken outside of God's boundaries. We have a desire for possessions in life, but outside of God's boundaries. And we have a desire to puff ourselves up, to be proud. She said it to make me wise. I'll know what's better. Can't wait to get out on my own when I do what I want to do and what I know what's better. That's the temptation of sin. I don't know what's better. God knows what's better. And so I follow Him. Satan takes people's eyes off the goodness and they look to the delight of the sinfulness. Thirdly, I want you to notice the last thing they did. They then made a decision to disobey. The last part of verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. They made a decision to disobey. You know what? Sin didn't just pop by. Every human being is built with the power of choice, and whenever you and I do wrong, we may have given up our right to choice a long time ago by neglecting the Bible and neglecting prayer and neglecting church and neglecting to walk with God. We may have given up the choice, but we made that choice to allow the flesh to rule and reign. They made the decision to disobey. All sin is a decision. It may be a split second decision, but all sin is a decision to disobey God. Because they got their focus on the wrong. I'm going to tell you what you can do as a family. All you got to do is teach that God's good. I'm telling you what, folks. God is the greatest person in all the universe. His ways are great. And I'm not going to allow anybody to tell me that God's commandments are narrow. They are not. How wonderful they are. How wonderful they are. My children got to enjoy life. But just a couple of things they couldn't do. It wasn't a lot. We didn't sit around and say, all right, do this, do that, do this, 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 do this. No, no. Kids, let's just enjoy ourselves and conduct ourselves a certain way. There's just only one thing. When we were at home, we let them have fun and frolic and play and enjoy themselves. And when Deanne took them out to Walmart and put all four on the shopping cart, they only had one rule. Don't you act up. That's the only rule. Now, when we get home, you can play and romp and jump and carry on. But when you get on that cart, one rule, don't act up. And if you do, there will be consequences when you get home. So if you saw my wife wheeling those four children on that buggy, you know what? They didn't act up. Because they knew they had all sorts of other things they'd do. They were just required in this one occasion not to act up. God's not limiting. God's not bad. God's good. Never think of His commandments and His ways as something that's just a few. God's commandments are broad and wide and wonderful. And He only provides a few restrictions. They're not as many as you think. As I said last week, there's only 10 commandments. Now, God could have listed 100,000 like man has. But there's only 10. And there's a lot of things you can do as a Christian. Satan comes to distort and twist people's thinking. I'm going to tell you something. You sit down and talk with someone, and within 15 to 20 minutes, depending on what you talk about, you can tell what comes out of their mouth what they're thinking. Either they're thinking goodness of God and His commandments, or they're thinking negative. And you know they're headed on a path that's not right.